Welcome to the program God and Country Radio, a program that examines current political, social, prophetic events in the light of Scripture. Your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship. As you know, a few weeks ago, President Trump rolled out his executive orders, increasing border security with 5,000 new border agents and 10,000 new ICE agents. The agents will now be able to prioritize deporting illegal immigrants who are not only convicted of a crime, but even those charged with a crime. The president has also eliminated the catch-and-release policy, which lets illegal immigrants go free until their hearing. Now, this is the fourth program I'm doing this year about illegal immigration. It's a big issue in the news. It's an issue that Christians are confused about, because there are texts of Scripture telling us to love the foreigner, but there are also texts of Scripture concerning national security and borders. And this is an issue that churches have to deal with personally. We are in the people business. And how are we to counsel illegal immigrants that find a way into the church and into the family of God? So this is why I'm giving this issue so much attention. Now, for today's program, I want to take a shot at explaining for you what is at the root of this immigration debate. I want to peel back the onion and look at what is happening in our nation ideologically, morally, spiritually. Remember, every event in this world is meant to teach us something about man and sin, God, righteousness, and his salvation. Now, some would simply say that this whole illegal immigration issue is about compassion for the foreigner. It's the hard-nosed legalists against the people of grace. But on the contrary, others might say this is the curse of Deuteronomy 28:43. The alien who is among you shall rise above you higher and higher, but you shall go down lower and lower. And therefore, we are now seeing how this happens. The ungodly crowd, out of either misplaced compassion, or a spirit of lawlessness, or even a need for cheap labor, open wide the borders, and they sell the store. So which is it? Is this illegal immigration movement about legitimate social justice, or is this social suicide and injustice? Now, I dealt with some of the ethics here in program 279. But let me emphasize again that I cannot find in Scripture that people have a moral right before God to sneak over a border into another country. Acts 17:26. God made from one man every nation of mankind, and he determined their appointed times and boundaries. God ordained nations and boundaries. Could you imagine if I decided to live in France or England or China and I insisted to the authorities there that I had a God-given right to live anywhere in the world that I please? And that in mass, the people of the world should be able to invade the most prosperous countries at any given time. Supporters of illegal immigration know that they have a moral and practical dilemma. I find that most of them avoid the ethical issues and simply make emotional arguments. But there are some purists who are claiming that we should have a borderless world. And you can see their signs in the protests. No walls. No human is illegal. Borders are drawn by racist imperialists. Globalism now. They want a world where there are no nations. But think about it. Even then, there would have to be a central world government keeping the entire population of third world countries from emigrating to Western countries, because social economic systems could not support such migration. So in a one world global state, there would still be immigration laws. Maybe even worse immigration laws than we have today. But honestly, most protesters don't even think about these things. They want what they want. And the illegal immigrants are more than happy to have the support of the globalists. It gives them an ideological justification for breaking the law, rather than being ashamed of their illegal behavior, as it was years ago. They are emboldened to protest that they have a right to enter a country illegally and that they're victims. Now, in thinking about what is really going on here in this push for illegal immigration, sanctuary cities, consider how America has changed on this issue in just a few years. I was recently listening to an interview where an immigrant who is now an American citizen made the comment that just 20 years ago, if you overstayed your visa or your green card here in America, you knew you were in trouble. There would be enforcement, and you would have to be making some quick plans to get out of the country. But now, there is little fear, nothing is done, and people who overstay their visas and their green card believe they have some moral right to stay. Back in 1996, Congress passed the Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigrant Responsibility Act. This toughened U.S. immigration policy. If you were unlawfully present in the United States between 180 and 365 days, you would be deported and you must remain outside the United States for 3 years before being allowed to return for any reason. If you are illegal in the United States for more than a year, you must stay outside the United States for 10 years. And this law was passed by a democratically controlled legislature, and it was signed by Bill Clinton. The political climate in the 1990s was that a politician was popular if he was tough on immigration, just like being tough on illegal drugs. Then, even in 2006, there was the Security Fence Act, building the wall between Mexico and the United States. Chuck Schumer voted for it. Hillary Clinton voted for it. Senator Barack Obama voted for it. And it passed in the Senate 80 to 19. So what has happened in just 10 years that illegal immigration is now a right? It's now a moral mandate. It's a cause. And the political left is fighting now against the enforcement of the very immigration laws that they passed just a decade ago. Just 10 years ago, a sanctuary city would have been unheard of. Now here's a question. Do you think all of a sudden Americans have become more compassionate than they were 10 years ago? I'm not kidding. I am willing to consider that possibility. I mean, look at the change in the Jim Crow laws between the 1950s and the 1960s. But given the fact that the left, which is supporting illegal immigration, still believes in killing a baby in the womb is justifiable, that homosexual behavior is virtuous, that gender should be a choice, that marijuana should be legalized, I think you would agree with me that the rational first conclusion would be that something else is going on here. I doubt that this is all about the left finding more love in their hearts. I would attribute the change to three things. First, political expedience. Second, uninformed compassion. And third, an increased spirit of lawlessness in our culture. First, political expediency. There are about 325 million Americans. 55 million are of Hispanic origin, about 17%. It is now the largest minority in the United States. In the 1990s, it overtook the African-American minority. In places like California, the Hispanic community makes up close to 50% of the population. And more importantly for politicians, the Hispanic or Latino community is a fast-growing minority, while the African-American minority is low to no growth. So if you're a politician looking for new voters in the future, and you want to play the racial identity politics game, you will be courting the Hispanic community even over the concerns of the African-American community or over the concerns of Middle America. But nevertheless, is this really about votes and politics and not compassion? Well, for the political class, it really is about votes. I have been in meetings where political consultants, political operatives actually strategize positions and policies based upon demographics. It's really not about compassion, but it sure is easy to consider your position compassionate when it helps you stay in office. Again, in California, there are more Hispanics than English Americans. And so the smart politician is going to cater to that majority. And after 8 years of open borders, cities are filled with Mexican immigrants. So of course, mayors of these cities are going to cater to that constituency. There is a tipping point where open borders become self-sustaining once enough illegal immigrants enter the country. Now, the problem with all this is that right and wrong are based on populism. What is right and wrong becomes a function of what is popular with a certain class of voters. And that has always been the problem with the secular left in America. Because ethics for them is not based upon the law of God, the authority of God, but they view ethics as a function of human utility. Law is based on what is most beneficial at any given time. So at one time, the Democrats supported slavery because it was the politically expedient thing to do. And at another time, the party supported black civil rights when they saw that the political wind was turning and they were looking for the black vote. Now, the Republican Party does the same thing. But the basic foundation of conservatism is that policy should not be based on human opinion or the popular vote, but on the higher law of God. And if you haven't noticed, that is the core difference between liberalism and conservatism. And that's why they fall on various sides of certain issues. The liberals see law as a function of man's will. Conservatives see law as a function of the law of nature and nature's God. So I think it's fair to conclude that support for illegal immigration is driven by political opportunism. But it has to be more than that. Yes, the Hispanic community has become a large voting bloc, but look at all the supporters of open borders who don't have political careers at stake. So support for illegal immigration could also be driven by compassion. Or rather, an uninformed compassion. It's amazing to me how many people I talk with change their opinion about illegal immigration once they learn how many immigrants are naturalized in the United States every year. But it is natural and good to have compassion for people seeking a better life. Have you noticed that when the media does a story about illegal immigration, it is always about a mother with a child, and they've been in America for quite a few years? It's never a story about young male illegal immigrants who have just now jumped over the fence. And you have to realize that this is a common tactic in the culture war, using the exception to overturn the rule. Or rather, to find a compassionate case to support or justify the criminal element. I mean, the LGBT movement uses this tactic all the time. using the physical deformities of a hermaphrodite to justify universal gender choice. And the abortion movement uses this tactic, using women with severely deformed fetuses to justify abortion on demand. So, of course, those supporting illegal immigration are going to put forth heartbreaking cases. There's an interesting verse in Proverbs that applies here. Proverbs 6:30. Men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he's hungry. But when he is found, he must repay sevenfold. He must give all the substance of his house. And the point here is that there is a natural sympathy for people who break the law out of a legitimate need, a life-threatening need. But as the verse goes on to say, the law is still a law, and justice requires that even stealing out of need has to be repaid. Here's the point. Lawless revolutionaries always ride on the back, or rather attach themselves to legitimate grievances and charity cases. It is a shameful and despicable practice. And this is one of those techniques of Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals, using people's natural sympathy for the underdog to promote lawlessness or cultural decay. It's the criminal element parasiting off of the innocent. But beyond political expediency and uninformed compassion, I think the real biblical assessment here is an increased spirit of lawlessness in our culture. The coming Antichrist is called the man of lawlessness. He's called this twice in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And the text there also refers to what is called the mystery of lawlessness. And so one of the Antichrist's main characteristics, and one of the characteristics of his age, is lawlessness. And this includes not only the Antichrist, but as the Apostle John wrote, even now there are many Antichrists. This is the MO of Antichrist throughout history. And it's not that the Antichrist won't have laws, but his laws will contradict and replace God's laws. Daniel 7:25. He will intend to make alterations in times and in laws. So if God says there are to be nations and borders, of course the Antichrist will promote a one-world government, the rebellion that was first attempted at the Tower of Babel. And Jesus said in the Olivet Discourse concerning the future that lawlessness will increase, Matthew 24:12. And of course we can assume that the Antichrist will feed into that lawlessness and feed off of that lawlessness. That hatred of accountability and judgment. And you and I know that in our age, there is this growing opposition to God's law in every facet. There is economic lawlessness, where people are saying it doesn't matter if we're $18 trillion in debt. We can keep kicking the can down the road. Money is just fiction. We only owe it to ourselves. And economic laws are made to be broken as long as we can help people. And there's lawlessness in gender and gender roles. And there is drug lawlessness. Look how many cities and states have legalized marijuana, even though their policies are against federal law. So it should be no surprise that there is a growing lawless attitude in regard to immigration. This generation hates law. They hate being told by anyone that they cannot do certain things. They don't want the law applied to themselves. And so they come to the defense of those who want to break the law. They want to be free from authority, and they give hearty approval to those who also practice freedom from authority. What has happened between 2007 and 2017? Just over the last decade, is an exponential increase in the ideology of secular relativism. College students weaned on relativism have come of age. And for now, some of the older population that still believes in law have elected someone to close the borders. But how long will that last? Now back to scripture. Notice how often lawlessness is condemned and how much it is antithetical to Christianity. 2 Corinthians 6:14. What partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? And speaking of Jesus in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 9, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your companions. And 1 John 3:4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. In Matthew 7:23, Jesus said, then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Matthew 13:41, the Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who commit lawlessness. Now, you've probably already guessed what the argument is against illegal immigration being lawlessness. The claim is that immigration policy is a man-made law. And any law contrary to God's law is no law. Immigration laws are not biblical and therefore they should be overthrown. Just like slavery laws. And to tell you the truth, I am more than willing to consider that possibility. But as I said earlier, given the fact that the Bible tells us that God ordains borders and nations, support for illegal immigration sure looks like it's coming from the spirit of lawlessness. And furthermore, in that the United States naturalizes close to 1 million immigrants every year, and we have been doing this way before President Obama even came into office, nobody can say that our nation or the Christian right is racist or against foreigners. So this support for illegal immigration in sanctuary cities is not simply about helping immigrants. It's a whole other thing. It may be sympathy, but there is something called sympathy for the devil, a hatred of rules and accountability. It's Psalm chapter 2, verse 3. Let us tear God's fetters apart and cast away his cords from us. Here's my closing challenge. If you have been given over to the spirit of rebellion and lawlessness in whatever political social venue, you are a lost sinner in need of faith and repentance, like every Christian at one time found himself to be. Paul writes in Titus 2:14, that Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed. And we certainly had plenty of them. I hope and pray that you will bow your knee to your Creator, because there's something bigger at stake than political issues, such as illegal immigration. These things are meant to cause us to do business with God. You've been listening to God and Country Radio with Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. The radio website is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can listen to this program again, download it, email me, and I'll send you a weekly one-paragraph synopsis of each upcoming program. That's godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for making God and Country a part of your discipleship. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, may the stubborn soul yield to you and find peace and rest in you. In Jesus' name we ask, amen.